Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
Hey, it's Jesse Rass here, and you've made the great escape into comics by jumping inside the pull bag today.
That man won't quit as long as he can still draw a breath. None of my teammates will. Me? I've got a different problem. I feel like I live in a world made of cardboard, always taking constant care not to break something, to break someone. Never allowing myself to lose control, even for a moment, or someone could die. But you can take it, can't you, big man? What we have here is a rare opportunity for me to cut loose and show you just how powerful I really am.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the GeekCast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Because this time, I won't stop until you're just a greasy smear on my fist. Let's go.
Hello and welcome to the pull bag. It is the end of April 2022. What the fuck?
Want to redo the intro?
You think? Hello and welcome to the pull bag. This is episode 552. It is the end of April 2024. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me once again, almost as always, is Ryan the Uneven Flow Merkley. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hello and welcome to Up Nerds. Today we'll be doing top three, bottom three Superman Unchained comics. It's a series from Scott Snyder. You can hear more on the Up Nerd Podcast Network. This isn't my show, right?
No, this is not your show. But since you already gave away the creative and all that good stuff, which is fine by me for all I care, but
Scott Snyder and Jim Lee, which I had forgotten.
Yeah,
this was a Jim Lee book.
And honestly, I have to say this, we have only covered one in the 11 years this podcast has been online. We've only ever covered one Superman anything, and we never finished it because Frank Miller, you asshat. So my buddy Joe Reed and I, who do the Turtles comics on the podcast from IDW Publishing, we decided to read Superman, what the hell is it called?
I don't think that's the subtitle of it.
fuck, what the hell is it called? God damn it. The Frank Miller Superman crap.
All-Star Superman?
No, sorry.
All-Star Superman is fantastic from Grant Morrison. You should read that and never read any Frank Miller Superman. But anyway,
this is the DC Black Label Superman. DC Black Label. So we covered the first two issues because I liked it. I thought, it's going to be a cool, different Frank Miller inspired origin story. And then after we released the first two episodes, the first two issues, I saw the solicits for the third and final issue, because the DC Black Label, most of those are only like three issues because they're like triple size of normal comics or whatever as far as how many story pages, whatever the hell it is. But I saw the solicits for the third issue and I'm like, asshole, why couldn't this just be a Superman story? Why you got to bring Batman and Wonder Woman in and just have
it? Not only that, but it went absolutely off the rails, and it's
nice. I have the third issue. Joe, okay. I could do it at some point. I have refused to read it ever since I found out about ever since I read the solicit for it.
Oh, you should definitely never read it. It is known. It's one of the worst comics. I think it's up there. it is, or down there, depending on how you look at it. And yeah, it is.
Oh. So unless Superman has been with Batman, or unless it's been a Justice League thing, or unless it's been something else, on the pull bag in the past 11 years of our history, we have never, outside of the Superman Year One, Issue 1 and 2, we've never done Superman comics. It's not because I don't like the character. I absolutely love the character. I think he's great. He's just not – he's just was never in the rotation.
He's got a lot of good runs. You know,
yeah,
he,
no. I'm not saying
in general, we should maybe I'll bring you on Up Nerd. We can do Death of Superman or something like that. I know you never want to do – well, Death of Superman is another one, by the way, that – same with All-Star Superman that I'm pretty sure you've seen the animated version of. Animated version does not do it justice at all.
No.
Especially the Death of Superman animated one. I remember how mad I was at how the comic is not perfect either. Don't get me wrong. It's not this amazing thing to be held up as perfection, but I hated the animated. And it's weird because I'm a huge, I think anybody who's listened to me on these shows knows, huge fan of the Tim and Justice League universe. And this wasn't set in that universe, but it was kind of adjacent. Like, it was the same people, and it felt similar. But they really missed the mark on it. Anyway.
Yeah, it felt
similar. That is not Unchained.
So the whole reason why we are starting the Superman coverage on the full bag with Superman Unchained is because Steve and I started doing... That's the whole reason why this podcast started, was Steve showed me issue 13, the cover to issue 13 of Batman, New 52, with the Joker head and the face and the staples and the whatever is in his face and whatever else. And we've covered plenty of Scott Snyder Batman over the years. You and I did. We need to probably go back and finish it at some point. But we did Volume 7 Endgame, which was kind of the end. I think there were two more volumes after
that. There were two more, yeah. So I recently re-picked up the – so initially I had it all on digitally.
Right.
And I've been picking up the trades because I find that I still read it and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So I have no issues having physical copies. So I've actually reread it recently, which we'll get into. It's pretty important for this as well. So.
Yeah. So like you said, Scott Snyder is on writing. Jim Lee, Dustin Nguyen, Scott Williams are on art. Alex Sinclair and John Kelson and a couple other people are on color. So the whole reason why I wanted to start with this as the first Superman coverage is because we covered Snyder's Batman, and I wanted to see and learn how Snyder was going to write Superman. I thought that was an interesting – it's always interesting to me when you have a writer who has written a character that, you know, you've loved for however many years, whatever, and you really liked what they did with most of their story, and then they switch to a character that you – like. Again, I think JT and I did this, but when we were doing Superior Spider-Man and the Dan Slott run and all that and everything else, Dan switched from, even though Superior Iron Man was only 9 issues, he switched from writing Spider-Man to writing Iron Man. I thought, ooh, that's a cool twist. I'd love to see what he – so that's why we're doing this. And honestly, I have to say, outside of seeing prints and things online and art pieces, I think this is the first Jim Lee art I've ever – like as far as like comic reading – ever have read in the last 11 years. So, but yeah, Superman Unchained. I love the art. I have no problem with the art pretty much throughout. The story is just wild.
Is it? So the plot of this.
Yes.
We get a little bit of sort of time jumping around, but to kind of shorten things.
Mm-hmm.
It's because we learn that for 75 years, roughly, General Lane has had a secret military installation which houses a superhuman from another planet who feeds off of the sun, by the way, which, you know, sounds familiar. He is not from Krypton, by the way. Nope. But they've been housing somebody who's been working with the United States for roughly 75 years, kind of in the background or adjacent to Superman, and clearing up things that
Superman
couldn't get to or wasn't able to or stuff like that, I guess.
Yeah.
And employing a little more sort of military. So his name is Wraith. They shorten it. It's William Rudolph's Ace in the Hole.
Yeah.
But his name is Wraith, and he's a little more militant, having grown up in a military base versus Clark Kent, who, of course, grew up with the Kents in Smallville, Kansas. Yeah. And that's sort of the central theme. And then around that, we get all these other elements of there's this terrorist group, I guess we'll say.
The Ascension.
Technology terrorists, basically, called Ascension, who are causing all of these attacks and doing all of these things. And in the end, kind of working, I don't know, working towards resetting or destroying the Earth and starting over, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have good old Lex Luthor escaping prison early on. And Lex just kind of, he doesn't do a lot. I mean, he kidnaps Jimmy.
Yeah.
And he chats with him here and there throughout, but really doesn't show up or make his presence felt or known until the end.
Yep.
And so really it's Wraith and Superman is the main sort of fight here.
Yeah.
Combined with Batman is involved, Wonder Woman is involved. And that works, by the way. I think they've found good ways to have them in the series without making them main characters or anything.
Yeah,
just here's Batman.
Yeah. It wasn't just here's Batman, and it was not just, okay, Batman's here, move over, Superman. It's Batman's book now. It wasn't that at all. Because, again, this is 2013. This is 2 years into the new 52. Snyder was still doing his run, as far as I know, on Batman when he was doing this. He didn't take a break, as far as I know. And I like a lot of things in this. I love how they handle Superman's. I love how he writes Superman's powers. I love how he writes Superman's character. But for me, it's those simple, easy, oh my God, gotcha moments of, oh, this is why I like this book. Not the whole reason, but like, ooh, this jumped. The Batsuit in this is amazing. I love the way the Batsuit looks.
Yeah, he has a stealth suit to enable him to stay hidden when Superman is looking at him. And it works on Wraith for a while, but we eventually kind of learn that Wraith is sort of a combination of Superman and Magneto. He uses a magnetic field to fight an awful lot. And so he's able to eventually adjust to it. And that's where Wonder Woman kind of comes in and helps, because he's the brains, but she's the brawn that can at least stand up to him a little.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And yeah, I agree. I think he writes Superman really well. I think he writes most of the characters really well. And I like this book. It is a very solid, like, Superman book. I wish I could go back to when I first read it, because I just read it now. And I mentioned I've just reread New 52 Snyder's Batman run. I've read 1-5 of it recently. This is a lot like Court of Owls.
The plot
is actually pretty much the same, in that there's this secret organization that's been working adjacent or behind the scenes with the main character for X number of years. It involves the parents of one of our main characters in the same way. And it's really... It feels like Snyder had all of his best story ideas on Batman, and somebody told him, like, well, we need you to write. Can you write a Superman story? Kind of whip it up quick. And it's definitely not bad, because he clearly understands the character. Yeah. I wish he were able to get more time with it, or maybe have written it at a time when he wasn't doing X number of other number of comics and everything else. You know, it feels like it's It's very good, and I enjoy it. It is a good Superman story. It is well worth reading. The art is excellent, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a part of me that wonders, what if?
Yeah.
Especially with Snyder, because he is so good. And paired up with a great artist, which he is here, and we see mm-hmm. on New 52 as well.
Yeah.
I don't, there's part of me that thinks, like, okay, this is really good. But, like, I feel like he had great Superman. Like, he was capable of writing a story that we'd still be talking about today. Like, people yeah. would still be saying, oh, you got to read this the same way, like, maybe All-Star Superman or something like yeah. that. You know, it's so close.
Yeah, it's so close.
On the cusp.
And the funny thing is every time, so this book... I have the deluxe edition digital version.
Ah, yes.
Which has the director's cut in it. I didn't really look at the director's cut. I probably should have, but I didn't. I just read the 9 issues. This is my first time reading this. I've been wanting to do this for years. It's just never really come up until now. And you're right. This is very Court of Owls. Very Court of Owls. But it's not bad because he takes the Court of Owls premise that he created and caters it and manipulates it to the Superman universe characters. Yeah. Like I said before, he's not just saying, here's Superman, here's this, here's that. Oh, by the way, Batman's here. Move over, Superman. It's Batman's book. He's not doing that because he knows, and I know he knows this, this is... you know, the other guy, this is not Batman, and it works. It works very, very well. And I like it. Like I said, first time reading it, I wanted to go in fresh. That's usually how I usually end up doing comics, whether I've read them before or not, is it's probably been years since I've read something before we end up covering it, or I just wait. I will wait until 20 minutes before and try to consume 300 and something pages, the recording kind of thing. And I really dug this. There isn't a moment in this where I'm like, okay, I'm out. Oh, Superman wouldn't do that, or oh, this, or oh, that, or whatever. I will say that there were several times in the whole story where I was like, oh, he's going to pull this card, or he's going to, like... There were a few times when they were talking about who's in the crystal, what's the signal in the crystal. I'm like, oh, fuck, it's Brainiac. I know it's fucking Brainiac.
I thought it was Brainiac or they were going to use Lex.
Yeah, well, I mean, Lex is here.
But it's always Lex.
Right.
You know, like that's always in the back of your head when he's in one of these.
Yeah, but
it's always Lex.
Yeah, he's here, and it wouldn't surprise me if that was what it was, but... whatever, but like the first, like, I'm like, okay, it's either Brainiac or Darkseid or Darksidiac or Brainyside or whatever the hell. Like, somehow you got to work in the two biggest Superman villains, and he didn't. And
yeah,
I really
like that it wasn't. Yeah, it was nice that it was different. It was nice that it was someone completely different.
Yep.
It might have been, I mean, maybe if there was more. So this is 9 issues, by the way. I should mention that sometime. Okay, but anyway, I kind of wish there was more time because I wouldn't have minded seeing maybe something of race.
Mm-hmm.
As in why they are conquerors or something like that. You know, maybe give them a little reason. There's nothing wrong with what they did or anything. I guess the only negative I have with them, it was as soon as they were introduced in my head, I went, oh, okay, so the resolution's going to be, you know, Wraith has to, something is going to happen to Wraith and he's going to have to sacrifice himself so that we can kind of return to a status quo. Cause unfortunately this was just a mini series. It wasn't part of the actual sort of Superman series at the time.
Yep. It was separate.
Which is a little unfortunate. It would have been nice if they could have done a new status quo or something out of it, or spun more of, you know, who knows what else General mm-hmm. Lane has from that 75 years he had with Wraith and with the technology and everything else. But it ends up not not really being picked up on, which is a bit of a downer.
Right. And the other thing for me is, and I know, and you and I talk about this all the time, I separate fiction from reality all the time. Yes, Dean Cain is whatever. I still like Lois and Clark.
Yeah.
And what you just said about how General Lane probably has all this. The first thing I thought of when they said that he's been building all this, is saving all this shit for 75 years. First thing I thought of was the scene in Lois and Clark when they were trying to find, when they were going through the warehouse in one of the episodes, and they find his ship, like, because of whatever black market government bullshit is in the show. Like, literally, I was like, oh, this is kind of like a little bit like Lois and Clark because of blah, blah, blah. Because
you didn't think of Michael Ironside from Smallville? Oh.
No, not really. Because
remember, honestly, he was General. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, I know he was General. Oh, okay. I remember that. I remember. I didn't, no. Yeah. Other than top three, bottom three on the Up Nerd Network, folks, I haven't watched Smallville in over 20 years.
It made me want to watch it again, though. It's one of those things that if I ever get some time, maybe sometime on a vacation or whatever, sit down and revisit at least parts of it. We'll definitely skip some of the bottom, thirst, really. That's about it. Anyway. No, I like this a lot. And
yeah.
You're right. The only other thing I wanted to make sure I brought up, too, is, so, Scott Snyder, and you mentioned this, too, this could have become a Batman book. It also could have been sort of discount Court of Owls if he didn't have a really good grasp of the character of Superman. Mm-hmm. On that note, how did you feel with, we get Superman's inner monologue in this,
mm-hmm.
and he's a lot less sure of himself, I guess. Like, there's a lot of him guessing. There's a lot of him trying in his head to figure out, okay, how can I save all these people? Mm-hmm. I have, XXX whatever in my way.
Yeah.
What can I do to fix this? Okay, can I do this? No, that won't work. That, there's a lot of that. Yeah. And it presents him as a little more of a regular person than I think we're used to. Because usually he's the infallible guy who's always got... He can everything do anything. Control. He can fix it. He's always inflappable. He's, I don't know. What did you think of that? I know some people didn't like it. I'm good with it. I think that it's another way that Snyder kind of gets in his head and A, makes him a little different, but B, makes him a lot easier to relate to. Because that can be a problem with a guy who is essentially a god.
Yeah, he's essentially a god, but most of the time he's played as boy from Kansas who now has superpowers, who wants to stay grounded with these superpowers no matter what kind of thing. I like the internal monologue because I like knowing what Superman is thinking, like his process of thinking. And every time that I read the internal monologue in this, I was like, oh, I hear a mix between Tom Welling and Dean Cain. Dean Cain, usually when he's like, after he's gone through the thought process. So when he's going through the thought process, I heard Tom Welling in my head. And once he figures it out and whatever, I heard Dean Cain in my head. Only because I don't think... Normally I hear the animated voices like Tim Daly or George McGovern or whatever. But I think the reason why I'm hearing... Dean and Tom is because they both went through things in their series for the character that in Superman the Animated Series and in Justice League, he was already Superman. He was already sure of himself.
I feel like Welling's Clark Kent in particular is completely unsure of himself. He's still trying to get a handle on his powers and what he can or can't do. And he's got to kind of think things through of, okay, how do I beat this guy without, blowing up the city sort of problem.
And like we said, folks, this came out 2013, 2014, somewhere around there in those 2 years there. And the whole building falling scene where he has to save the people.
Hmm.
I'm like, if you switch universes and put a metal suit on him, it's basically Iron Man 3.
Okay.
With the play.
I thought you were going to go, what's his name? Zack Snyder. There we go.
I thought you were going to go Zack Snyder, Man of Steel.
And just tell him like, yeah, we'll just let the building fall. It's fine. Oh, whatever.
No, come on now. I'm not that cool.
I'm sure the people weren't important.
Well, again, because he has to, like, he's in this building collapse thing or whatever, as he's trying to save these people, he has to reassure them, he has to reassure himself, and it just, the way that scene played out in the comic, I was like, oh, it's like Iron Man 3 with the passengers falling out of the plane, and he has to catch them, and he has to have Jarvis tell him how to catch them, kind of.
Well, similarly to the opening bit where he's rescuing the astronauts from the falling space station, same idea. He even says, like, I've got to talk to them before the oxygen runs out and explain to them things so they don't panic, etc. Yeah, same idea.
Yeah. I really dug this. I thought it was fun. Like I said, I have no complaints about the art. I find it hilarious because they kind of all look like versions of Mrs. Pidlick, but Luther's paper dolls that he uses, I'm like, oh my
God.
That was a little much, but it's not bad. Like, it's not something in the art that makes me go, ugh. It's just like, oh.
Yeah, it's fine.
That was a choice. Yeah.
Yeah, overall, there's nothing really wrong with it. Like I said, I kind of, you know, and it's probably unfair to judge a guy or judge what he worked on based on expectations from other work that he's done. But also in reading this, I just feel like he's so close.
Yeah.
Like, so close to a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Instant classic. And he clearly grasps the characters. And like I said before, I'd love to see him try again. Now, it should be noted, you mentioned too, it came out from 2013 to 2014. Technically, it came out from 2013 to 2015.
Okay.
For whatever. No, I'm just saying, like, in general, for whatever reason, there was just a tremendous amount of delays with this.
Yeah.
And I remember when we were going to do this, and I sat down to read it, and I sat down, I had it digitally, and I sat down to read it, and I remembered thinking, I don't even remember how this came out in issues and how I read it.
Right.
And I now know, I was thought I was going crazy. I needed to make sure that I was remembering everything right. And no, I looked it up that no, I wasn't crazy. Well, I might be crazy, but not for this. Anyway. But it was, it was just heavily delayed, and it was tough to pick up, and it's always hard when you get a book that the first group of issues came out, and then it just kind of disappeared for X number of months. It was really weird. I think it was the first three or so, and then it just kind of, no, that's right, it was 8 and 9 that were super delayed, and at one point they were kind of canceled completely.
Yeah, we weren't sure if this was ever going to finish.
Yeah, and I remember I wasn't even sure, if I could get the final issues or what was going to happen. And then randomly, X number of months later, it showed up in the solicitations with my comic guy, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's going? We're finishing it now? Right. I don't know. It was, that's always weird. I have no idea why. I don't think there's any solid info on why, but it happens. And it's one of those things with comics.
So the in-store date, not the cover date, because the cover date's always different, but the in-store date for issue 8 was September 10th of 2014. And the in-store date for issue 9 was, what did I just say? September
10th
of 2014?
2014, yeah.
Yeah, 2 months difference. November 5th, 2014 for issue 9. So it was a 2-month delay. What the hell happened?
I don't know. It's always weird.
I don't know either. Like that's fine.
It's funny. Like, before we started, we were talking about Void Rivals, which you've been reviewing with Jesse.
Yep.
On was just another
another comic review is what it is. Comicreview.com, yeah. Folks.
I turned into him because he got the name wrong in the most recent episode. Anyway, yeah, you've been reviewing it there, and we were talking about how it got delayed, and I couldn't remember, you know, its order or anything either. It's funny how only 1 or 2 months really throws you off when it's comics, and you're used to, we're used to getting them monthly, especially now with everything digitally available. Yeah.
And this is mixed in with this conversation here, folks, but this is kind of relevant because Jesse and I have already talked about this because we already knew about it, but like, Skybound Entertainment under Image Comics with Starting Void Rivals, I think the only reason why there was a 2 month delay between issue 6 and 7, issue 6 was the final arc of the first story in Void Rivals, is because they had to launch Duke and Cobra Commander.
I think that's right.
I think that's the only reason why, because Transformers came out in October of last year, Duke came out in either late October or November, and then Cobra Commander came out in December. So I think it was them saying, hey, we need a little time to get these other things launched and set up and whatever else, so you're going to get a two-month break. It wasn't anything major. There was no pandemic. It wasn't like poor IDW during the pandemic when Last Ronin issues got delayed all the time.
Yep.
Superman Unchained. I don't know if it's something I would reread, but I'm glad I read it. I love it. And I think one of the cool things about this is normally I will praise comics when they do flashbacks, when they have different artists do like you and I know this. Livia Remondelli would always do the flashbacks for the Transformers comics and IDW for the most part, versus having like Alex Milne or whomever, Andrew Griffith on the main art. This is all Jim Lee. This is all him and the colorists and the, mm-hmm. and the everything else. I like that it's all him because I love the way he draws the Smallville stuff or the past stuff with Lana and everything else. I think that is super cool because it's so different from the actual rest of the core of this story.
Yeah, when you read a lot of the 90s Jim Lee stuff, you kind of mm-hmm. feel like he's got a style mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with that. His style is outstanding. He's very good at it.
Right.
But then you look at the flashbacks in this and you remember, holy cow, this guy is just a brilliant artist. Like, he can do different styles, different sort of genres even with it. It's just he doesn't always get the chance to, you know. And this, I think it was probably fun for him because it gave him an excuse to draw differently in different ways than he normally gets to on all the different superhero comics he does.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's really good. I feel like I'm with you that it's not something I need to have in physical trade paperback form, so I can just pick it off the shelf. Like, say, Snyder's Batman, where, you know, I talked about it at the start. I do kind of want that in physical form because I'm consistently drawn back to it, and I reread it every, you know, year or so. So decided, you know what, I want to keep these, et cetera, et cetera. Anyway, it's really close to that, you know, but not quite. It's definitely worth a read, though. I mean, you know, if you're listening to this and you've never read Superman Unchained and you're curious about it, definitely should. It's certainly worth the read digitally or physically if you want to pick it up. And, you know, like, yeah, it's going to vary. It's a very good book. There's nothing wrong with owning it. It's not one that
the story
you're going to look at on your shelf and go, ugh.
Yeah, no. Well, the story is awesome. The story is awesome. The art is amazing. It's a story that has, like I said, it has beats that you don't necessarily expect, but when you see them, you're like, oh, that's nice. It's kind of like a nice homage type of thing. But the story that they are telling, that Snyder is telling here, is not, like I said, it's got Lex. obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's not solely focused on Lex. It's more focused on General Lane and the military and all of that. And I think the only thing that bugs me, but it doesn't bug me enough for me to like take a point off or anything like that. Why they gotta call him Jim? He's freaking Jimmy.
Jimmy, yeah, that was...
Like, that's the every only
time they
thing.
Said, by the way, every time they said Jim, I thought of Jim Gordon. Like, yeah. Especially initially, I thought, like, why is Superman talking to the police chief in Gotham? You know, that doesn't... He never doesn't talk to him. Yep. And then I remembered, oh, yeah, right, it's Jimmy Olsen. Yeah, that's a bit odd. I will say that one other thing, too, and this is something to get into maybe someday, but... I read this and rereading Snyder's Batman, and keep in mind, like I said before, this Unchained was not part of the standard Superman continuity or the new stories in the new 52, which I think is a mistake. But I read stuff like this, and of course I read Snyder's Batman, and I go, why did the new 52 fail? And, you know, I eventually kind of come back around and remember that, okay, you know, the quality of this stuff is really high, but it wasn't that way across the board.
Yeah, no.
Certainly. For every kind of big swing and that kind of, and that stuff, they had some real weird decisions. I mean, I'll never forget the first time I read the reimagining of Mr. Freeze, for example, in the new 52 version.
What?
Which is just crazy. Oh, he was a crazy stalker.
Oh.
Who froze Nora. Like, there's no sympathy or anything.
Oh.
He was sort of a crazy stalker who had Nora froze because he was in love with her.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and it was also so weird because we weren't that far removed from Heart of Ice. You know, yeah. It had only been like 10 years or so. That's not a huge amount of time. And that was... the definitive kind of, that's what made Mr. Freeze not a joke.
We were a long ways away from Heart of Ice by the time New 52 came around.
Actually, yeah, it'd be about 20, well, 15, 20 years. 20 years, yeah.
Yeah, 20 years. 92 to 2012.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
but even then, that's not a huge amount of time, though.
No,
it is. You know, you're talking about characters that have existed for 60 some odd years. Yeah, so yeah. I don't know. It was really weird. And yeah, I think of decisions like that versus some of the cool stuff they did with these characters.
Yeah.
And I kind of go, oh, yeah, right. That's what happened. Whoops.
Yeah. And what I love about Snyder's Superman here is that he works everything into the Superman story from the Superman character point of view without having to tell you the origin of Superman. Like,
yeah.
You didn't need that here at all.
Yeah, we don't need to know who Clark Kent is or that that's his...
Yeah, like...
Clark is barely
in this. Like, Clark's in this in the beginning, and Clark is in this at the end. Close to the end.
Like, I think I talk about this every time that we talk about or review anything to do with Batman in media that... We don't need Batman's origin. We already know his parents get killed. He's a rich guy.
Yep.
Dresses like a bat. We know.
Yeah.
We don't need to see the pearl necklace again, Zach. Just leave it alone. We know. Everybody knows.
We're in the alley. Oh, my God.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where, yeah, I love, that's another reason why I love this story, is that it's a whole story that does not prey on the Superman tropes of including insert villain name here, whatever, 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 and it's not a Superman origin story.
Yeah, it's very accessible without that, too. Like, you don't need to know every character. Like, even if you know the basics, you know who Lex Luthor is, and we get a very quick, not expository bit about, you know, General Lane, and he sums it up really quickly. And yeah, there's no need to, you know, a lot of us, especially those of us who have been, you know, reading this from the start or for years and years, really don't need a primer on who Superman is.
Yeah.
And the average person probably doesn't either. Yeah. We know.
Yeah, and again, one of the reasons why I love this is that monologue. He basically introduces himself without really needing to tell the reader, hey, I'm an alien. My planet blew up, blah, blah, blah. I got sent to Earth, blah, blah, blah. I have Kansas parents, Smallville, blah, blah, blah. Didn't need to do any of that. Didn't need to do any of that at all. So, yeah. Superman Unchained, 0 to 5. What are you going to give it?
4? Like a high 4?
Yeah, I agree.
I want to lean towards 4.5.
Right.
But I just can't.
Yeah.
It's funny because, like, you know, we talk about and I can't put my finger on exactly what's missing. It's just on the tip of my tongue sort of thing. Like, you know, but yeah, it is very good. Yeah. It's worth reading. It is worth seeking out. If you enjoy the character, I think you should definitely read this. Or if you're looking for what the character is about, I think it's a perfectly good book for that. It's, you know, just not quite on the level of some of the super classic stuff, but it's so close.
Yeah, it gives us everything that we need when it comes to Superman. It's in Snyder's voice. It's like you said, there is, you know, he does bring over his Court of Owls type whatever, but that doesn't matter because it's the Superman characters. And even in the flashbacks, I love the flashbacks. I thought it was great. Him and Lana and all this and all that and everything.
They mentioned Pete. It felt like Smallville.
Yeah.
Pete gets one sentence mentioned. That was basically every episode of Smallville.
Pretty much.
Oh, yeah, right. We need to include this character for a second. He's in our credits.
Yeah. Poor Pete. Pete gets no respect.
Pete erasure.
Exactly. So I think we're going to go to a quick ad break. You're going to hear some ads and some other stuff, and we will come back to close the show right after this.
So how'd you do Batman's voice?
Precise muscle control.
Plus, I have a pretty good ear. Don't do that again.
Hello, geeks and geekettes. Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it?
You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah, yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We can give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin. That's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. But, well, you'll get it soon. I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play, yay!
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast,
It's audio justice.
No. It's audio chaos. These wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform.
Apple Podcasts.
Google Play.
Spotify.
Stitcher.
And everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hello, listen to the Up Nerd Podcast Network. We do podcasts every week.
That's your ad break. Huh? All right, fine.
You already gave me a better one. I'm going to insert anyway, you idiot.
What's better than a live read? Everybody loves those.
No.
Hi, welcome to Up Nerd. What is Up Nerd? Up Nerd is a podcasting network of shows hosted by me, The Uneven Flow. People have told me I like to talk at them about a pretty wide range of topics, comics, games, movies, books, whatever, and now I'll be able to talk at you. Along with the weekly show will be two bi-weekly shows. First we have Fine You Pick, a show where one host picks a movie, then both hosts have to watch it. Then the next episode, the other host picks the movie. Each show will have a breakdown of why it is that movie was picked by that host, after which will be a discussion about what it is we just watched. Lastly, we have the show Top 3, Bottom 3. Similarly to Fine You Pick, one host picks a television series, and the next week, the pick alternates to the other host. Here, the episodes of the show are chosen by the top 3 episodes and the bottom 3 episodes, as rated on IMDb.com. Yes, this is probably the worst way to watch and review a television show, and yes, that's the idea. On our shows, I'll detail out how you can suggest things for us to watch, you can reach out and talk with the hosts, and maybe even appear on an episode. I hope you'll join me for this exciting new podcast adventure. I swear, we're going to make it more than 8 episodes.
All right, we are back here inside the Pullbag. This is episode 552. Superman Unchained. Go check it out, like we've said. What do you got coming up on Up Nerd, sir?
When this airs, who knows? We'll probably have... No, I know.
The end of April.
We'll have fairly recently done Caddyshack, not to be confused... Not to be confused with Groundhog Day, which is the actual movie we'll have done. That is a weird inside joke. Yes. But anyway, no, we'll have done Groundhog Day because we've been on a weird time loop bit. And then, yeah, I've got top three, bottom three of The Witcher in 2 weeks' time. That'll be interesting. And yeah, just recorded one on, again, those two will be out and this will be out as well in terms of an X-Men 97 first two episodes discussion, which holy cow.
We'll be here the rest of the night talking about that. Don't do that. We'll talk about that off air.
I don't like nostalgia stuff usually. So like for it to be as enjoyable as it was for me is really surprising. Yep. Surpassed any of my expectations.
Absolutely.
Beyond good, beyond evil.
Evil, beyond your beyond wildest, your wildest imaginations.
Yep. Yeah.
See, I know the line. All right.
Yeah. Watch that.
Yes, anyway. Watch X-Men 97, because by the time this airs, hopefully all 10 episodes will be out by then.
You actually go outside in these things? What would you prefer? Yellow spandex?
Almost forgot.
Am I going to war or a circus?
What'd you expect? Black leather.
Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave the feedback for this show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients you choose to use. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network, at The Pullbag for the show. I am at TFG and Mike, and Ryan is back on Twitter.
Yes, at UpNerd Podcasts. You can interact with us there. I'm also on Blue Sky, which you are also on.
Yep. I don't promote that as much. Yeah, I don't promote that as much because I just wish it was at T. I don't like the, oh, it's
the .vksny or whatever.
I'm like, what the weird.
Why didn't they just have it like whatever .bluesky or something, you know?
Yeah, or just
something easy to remember. I'm old. I can barely remember what we just read, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or just, you know, bluesky.com/TFGandMike or at TFGandMike or whatever. I mean, it is the guy that did Twitter originally, so you could always do whatever. Anyway, you can check us out on Facebook as well, Geekcast Radio Network, and The Pullbag. Is Up Nerd on Facebook? I don't remember. I think
yes, Up Nerd Podcasts on Facebook.
There you go. Next time, I have no idea. So enjoy that, folks. I have no idea. So that's what's coming up next on the show. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
The Uneven Flow.
Please make your great escape into comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter, @thepullbag and @geekcastradio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Snap out of it, Kent, or Joker gets the last laugh.
Uh-oh! They're loose!
That's not fair!